All right, Cascade Hills, I'm here with one of my favorite people, our college pastor, Pastor Brian, and he's going to be bringing the word to you today. But I wanted to share something that I know will bless you, and you're going to be so proud of your church after hearing this. Remember this year when we opened up, we talked about our word for the year is favor, expecting God for the big things and then seeing the favor of God in the little things. Brian has had a prayer on his heart for 9 years. Is that right?
9 years.
9 years. And we would read the prayer partner card, you know, year after year after year, that he wanted his family who lived in Peru to be here. And recently he shared with you in his past messages of the passing of his father. And that's been very difficult on Brian. And Columbus hasn't really felt like home yet because he knows he's called here. He's making a big difference here. But his family is across the world and his mom is there by herself with her children. And so what we have done has been something amazing. And when I say we, I mean you. Because of your generosity, a while back, we decided to make Brian's dreams come true. And we have moved his family to the U.S. And so I wanted to just capture this moment and tell you just a few things that he's told us that would just bless you before you get up and speak. But I got to share just how much it's touched your life, how it's changed your life. I'd love for y'all to show some B-roll, perhaps, of Peru and where you live so you can get a visual of the difference between where Brian's family lived and being now in America and how grateful. And never forget, believe God for the big things. Believe Him for the favor of God, the big things in your life. But also every day wake up and see the little things of God. It reminded me of just how many things we walk past every day that is really the favor of God.
Hey church, my name is Brian. I'm the college pastor here, and as many of you guys know, I'm originally from Peru. I grew up there the first 18 years of my life. We lived in a little tiny little home with dirt floors, with a roof that was just falling down. It was crazy just growing up, and then one of my biggest goals was always just to take my family out of that environment. So I play soccer for a living. And fast forward, 18 years old, that's when I met my beautiful bride, Kirsty. So I was able to come to America at the age of 19 years old, left everything behind and moved here with Kirsty. And to know, like, I've been praying now for 9 years for my family to be able to come here to the United States. And year after year, it was just hard and hard and hard for that dream to come to pass. But we always pray. I always put it on my prayer request and during pastor prayers partner. And for years, I prayed that my family was able to come. And after the passing of my father, one of my biggest goals that I pray, God, if there's any way that this can happen, please let it be so. And about a month ago, that prayer request was answered. And God, in His faithfulness and in His grace, was able to open every single door so that my mom, my brother, and my sister are now here with me. And it is the craziest thing, for sure.
Okay, guys, so what is the target? Saying that they never even traveled within Peru because they never had the opportunity to do that because Mike.
That's health and, you know,
and money and all of that. So they've never been anywhere outside their little city. It's been, of course, never outside the country. This is the first time.
After losing my children's father, my husband, we felt like our family needed to be complete and needed to be together, but Brian wasn't there and Kirsty wasn't there.
The transition has been awesome, but it's also been hard because they fully don't know yet what's expected or what to do.
Ahí está el ladrón, ven. ¿Qué harán? Ah, mira, está Miss Carrie. Vamos con la que la conozca, mami. Ay, para que no conozcas a Carrie, la esposa del pastor. Vamos a ver qué hace para que la conozcan, mami. Hey, Miss Carrie.
Miss Carrie, this is my mom.
Hello. So
nice to meet you.
We're so glad that you're here. So wonderful to meet you.
It feels like they've known you guys.
Oh, like, same.
But now it's like, you know, like, be able to see you is pretty awesome.
Same here. Que, y'all want to come inside?
Dije, si quieren ir adentro, repito.
Oh,
bueno. Sí? Come on in. Vengan.
So I wanted to tell you why we're actually here, and I might get emotional.
Dice que tal vez esté un poco emocionada, algo emocionada.
I was having my quiet time.
Dice que estaba orando en su tiempo con el Señor.
And the Lord had told me over and over and over again.
Dice que el Señor le dijo una vez, hasta otra vez, hasta otra vez.
In the scriptures.
En la Biblia.
That Cascade Hills needs to help orphans and widows.
Dice que el Señor está diciendo que le decía a Carrie una vez, otra vez, otra vez.
Prayed about it and went to both of our pastors, and we have several people in all of Cascade Hills that pitched in to help and been an answer to prayer, and Cascade Hills wants you to live here until you get onto your feet.
Dice que muchas personas ayudaron, dice que toda la iglesia dice que pudieron comprar este hogar para que ella quiere dártelo a ustedes para que ustedes puedan vivir aquí. Y hasta...
She said, God, how can you be so good?
God is faithful.
What does the palabra dice?
When his word says,
que él es defensor de viudas, de huérfanos.
He will take care of the widows and the orphans.
Cuando Ricardo falleció hace un año.
Say, when dad passed 1 year ago. You say, what is going to happen to me now? Dad was not there anymore, nor his job. And I said, how are we going to make it?
Que nos toca.
He said, what are we going to live now? How are we going to live?
And God has given you a home here.
Dice que el Señor te da un hogar aquí. Dice,
this is home.
Dice que esto va a ser tu casa. Dice. Thank you so much. Thank you, Cascade.
For us, it's a new experience to be with Brian and Kirsty and Noah and Mercy. And it's like a dream. But God is so good. He's so loving that he would allow us to see situations that I never imagined.
Cosa que para nosotros era imposible en nuestras manos, pero para Dios.
These were things that I always thought were impossible in our own hands, but through God, there is nothing impossible.
Well, now that you guys were able to help her get this place, it's like giving somebody that had no hope, that had no vision to believe God for the impossible, like, he's given her that fire back in her to know that God does answer her prayers, that God listens to her, and that God is closer to the brokenhearted. That verse has been stable in my life, you know, to have this resilience to believe God that he is close, that he is the one who did the impossible.
Estoy muy
and I'm so thankful to every member and for the pastors here, because I can see that we are part of your family.
Do this weekend and this place, it's been amazing. Before I go in my message today, I really hope I deliver a message, because I don't know if I kind of want to dismiss right now. See you all next weekend. You'll come here, Pastor Brett. Where all I want to say, thanks God, praise Him. Take a few minutes. I want to also thank Pastor Brent and Miss Carrie for it's one thing to say something and to say how much somebody cares and how much somebody loves, but what they've shown me is that they don't just say it, they actually do it. It has been the honor of my life, and I'm speaking for my family, my wife too. It's been the honor of our lives to serve under their leadership and under their protection. And thank you, Pastor Bill, too, and Ms. Debbie. They believed in somebody that could barely even speak English. They believed in somebody that he even couldn't see what he had. And they saw something in me that I could even not see myself in forever. And for that, I'll be always grateful. Y'all give me the opportunity to grow and to pursue the God-given dream to reach out young adults and college students in our area and around the world. And it has been an honor to serve under their leadership for the last 3 years. And if you allow me, church, I wish I can spend time one by one with each one of you. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you for making a difference in not in this city or in this world. You know that. Thank you for making a difference in my life and in my family. For that, I will be always grateful to you. I don't know if you're struggling today with doubts, with faith. I don't know why you're struggling with today, but know that God used you to bless me and forever. And I wish you can know, and I wish I can tell you and say, hey, thank you so much. But thank you from the bottom of my heart. And what I'm saying, it goes far beyond of just like having them close. Yes, that's a blessing itself. This is not a part of my message, but for a second, I just want to remind you guys for a little bit. You don't understand just the blessing that it is for my sister and my brother and my mom to have a lifestyle they've dreamed of. I want to show you a picture of my home in Peru. I grew up here. And you see that picture over there. It's all the way up to, you see that little blue little piece of land over there? That was my house. We grew up having nothing. We grew up, and it always was my dream to say, like you heard, it was always my dream to just get my family out of their environment and just give and provide for them and be able to help them, help my brother, my sister out. And now you don't understand how blessed we are to live in the United States of America. How blessed you are to be able to know. Young people, hear me out for just a second. Hey, I don't know. I understand if your little boyfriend, little girlfriend just broke up with you. But let me tell you one thing. You have and you are blessed. I don't know if you've gotten so caught up into the mundane, the routine of every single day, but you are blessed to know, hey, that you have electricity when you go back home. You're blessed to know that you got in a car to your AC, head to church, come to this place and receive hope. Hey, you're blessed, friend. You're blessed to know that you're going to have a bed, you're going to have food, Yes, you may not have everything you want, but you have what you need, and God has been faithful with that. Let us never forget, church. So now it is with excitement and so much passion in my life that I'm able to give my little brother and my little sister an opportunity to pursue their God-given dreams. So let us never forget. I understand that we have our issues. I understand. But I've come from a place where things were taken away that thought we were going to fix it, but it made it worse, and you don't know what you're going to eat, and you don't know when the water is going to turn on. Let us be careful to not ask what yet we have not experienced. Let's turn our hearts back to God and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the foundations where this country was built, that we have the ability to have the freedom. Thank you to our police officers, our military, that we have the freedom to know that we're going to be okay. So if you get anything out of my message tonight, know, and let me remind you, man, we're blessed. Man, we're blessed. Earlier on this year, Pastor Brent said that this was going to be the year of the Lord's favor. Believe God for the big things, being grateful for the little things. And he said that, I stood back over there and I said, could this be the year? 9 years, I was like, God, I mean, my pastor just said it, God, will this be the year? When we sing this song, we see families reunited, I will close my eyes and I will see you, and I will imagine my wife, and I will imagine my mom and my brother and my sister worshiping alongside with me. Could it be, God, that you would give me the opportunity to go to them, with them to church? Would you give me the ability and to see it? God, I want it. And what I have learned is this, and this is the foundation of my message today. There cannot be favor without faith. You hear me? I need to say that again. There is not favor without faith. Faith is necessary when it comes down to believing God to do the impossible. So I have titled my message this morning this, I don't know how, but I know you will. I don't know when, but I know you will. I don't know where, but I know and I believe you will. And my prayer, since Pastor Brent approached me and says, hey, I want you to share your story. I want you to share what God has done in your life. I began to pray the exact same prayer God has been doing in my life for the last couple of months. And I'll give you, okay, the thing, and then you can go back and distract, whatever you want to do, but hear this out. I've prayed that God will build faith in you, that the Holy Spirit will inject faith in you to believe God for the impossible. I want you to leave this place, and God wants you to leave this place with the faith and the certainty to know that God will come through, that God will rescue you today, that God will deliver you today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know how, but believe me, I know He will. If He did it for me, He can do it for you. I don't want us, and I want to shake you up a little bit. I'm screaming on because I'm mad, okay? I'm just passionate. If I can scream all my lungs in the soccer field, I can scream for a little bit here, okay? So I'm just like, dude, this dude is aggressive. Yeah, that's what my son says every single weekend when we go to the soccer field. It's like, Dad, chill out a little bit. Be running all over the soccer field screaming. That's just, you know, like, that's just deal with it, okay? I can't control myself. But God has been so good. So good. And I hope this message blesses you today. So in honor of God's word, I would like for everybody just to stand up, and we're going to read the main scripture that we want to land on today. It's in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse 10 and 11. We all know the story of where God delivered the people of Israel and crossed through the Red Sea. But man, this is a pivotal time for this to happen. So this is what it reads. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. It's so dramatic. Isn't it? It's like a Mexican soap opera over here, isn't it? That's a lot of us, don't we, when we face tribulation. It's just so dramatic. But I love this. Look, Moses answered the people.
Do not be afraid. Everybody said, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, on this morning we come to you acknowledging that you are Lord. God, you're sovereign Lord. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. Your presence is in this room today. You are here. God, we don't want to take advantage of your presence. Today, God, we open our hearts as your people. Would you speak to us, Lord? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that they will hear no my words. I'm just a man. I have nothing to give. But you, oh Lord, you alone, Father, can deliver the message that you want your people to hear. So I make myself available. Let my words be your words. Let my thoughts be your thoughts. Father, let your word pierce through every heart. Oh, Holy Spirit, move our hearts. Break through it, God. Let us believe today that there is a God that is moving. There is a God that is alive. Oh, Lord, let them see you this morning, God. Don't let them see me, God. Let them see you. We believe in you to do the impossible. This is our declaration. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name. The people of God say, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. The Israelites found themselves on what they thought was the end of the road. At this point of time, the Israelites found themselves with their back against the wall. They had nowhere to go. If they saw in front of them, there was a big army of Egyptians coming in, and behind them, there was the Red Sea. They found themselves with no escape. And my question is, have you ever been in that place in your life? Have you ever experienced a situation where your back is against the wall, where there is no way you can escape? Have you ever seen a situation, maybe for you, maybe hope has been lost? You feel that there's no way God gets you out of here. You don't see a transformation in your marriage. Things in your workplace have not changed. You're like, could there be a God? I mean, I need God intervention. Maybe for some of you, you just got a bad medical report that has shaken your foundations and you're like, this is it. There's no way I come out of this. Maybe for you, you had that business idea and you stepped out in faith and you're like, oh, did I get it right? God, where are you? Maybe for some of you, you lost someone that you loved. Maybe for some of you, you take a step of faith, nothing happens, and so you find yourself in the same place the Israelites were at this time, with their back against the wall. In front of them, it was an army, and behind them, there was the Red Sea. I don't know what it is, but there was that moment in your life where 100% of your dependency had to be on God. If you haven't not yet experienced one of these situations, let me break it to you today, okay? You will experience some tribulations and trials. Welcome to church. Brian, I thought you were going to speak to Faye about faith. But hey, I got to awaken you to the reality that if you're not experiencing situations like this, guess what? You will. Jesus himself said, hey, in this world, you will experience some trials. In this world, you will face some tribulations. When did we begin to think that Christianity was going to fix our problems? No, Jesus never promised you that you will never walk through the valley. He did say that his presence was going to be with you through the valley. But friend, take heart if you are experiencing this type of situation in your life. Take heart. If you feel like there's no way out, if there's no way you come out of this, take heart today. Because times like this allows us to put our trust and our faith on the right thing, God. 9 years ago, I moved to America
It seems so long. And when I moved here, everything was new. I mean, like literally, like I came from this little town in Peru to the big city of Dallas, and I was gonna go there to Bible school, and everything was new. I mean, like when I got to the car in my father-in-law truck, and we were driving, it was so hot in Dallas, and it was just like, man, it's hot. I put the window down, and then everybody in the car looked at me weird. I was like, what? And my father-in-law said, put that window up. It's hot. Put the window up, and there was air blowing out of those little holes, and I was like, whoa, those things work. Everything was new for me. I mean, there was new buildings that are huge. I was just like, oh my, I mean, light and everything scared me to death. I was like, oh my word, I was in a new place, new culture, no friends. I could barely speak the language. I mean, I still can, but I'm trying my best. I'm getting better. I'm 30, 40 years. Hopefully, you guys will understand a little bit. And not just that. I mean, but now, like, I had to learn how to be a husband because we were barely, fairly new marriage with Kirstie, and we're trying to figure things out, you know, and we were finally by ourselves, and that's when you find, you know, if you've been married for a little bit, like, that first couple of years are pretty crucial. So now I had to learn how to be a husband in a new place, and not just that. We had Noah, and now I was like, I'm in a new place with a wife, with a son, in Bible school. It was so overwhelming that one day I sat with Kirstie and I said, Kirstie, you deserve far more than just this. You deserve a better husband. You deserve a better father for Noah. I can't do it. That ain't me. God got it wrong. So I decided, I was like, I'm going to go to Peru, and I don't know, I'm going to be there for just for a second. I don't know if I'm coming back, but I need to go back to my country. So I ran away, and I went back home, and a few weeks went by, and Dad finally asked a question, right? He was like, hey, I know you're here visiting. When are you going to go back? And I was like, yeah, Dad, about that, I had a lot to tell you. And I was like, Dad, I just can't do it. And I broke up to him. I was like, I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a father. I don't know. I mean, how to live in America. Things out there so fast-paced. I just need to chill out a bit. It is so overwhelming. And now what I thought my dad was going to be, oh, son, welcome home. I missed you. I love you. Come on, sit down. Your bed is there. No, you know what he said? He leaned like any father will do. He leaned in his bed, and he looked at me, and he said, don't be a sissy. I said, what? Don't be a sissy, Ryan. Do you really think that you're the only one that has ever gone through something like this? I was like, oh, I thought you were going to love me. I was like, you go back over there, and you try the best that you can, and you lean onto the things. And God used my dad that day to remind me something that has been a staple and a foundation in my life. He said this, Brian, you've been putting your dependency on your own ability, on your own knowledge. God has been so good, and you have forgotten where the blessings come from, and you have forgotten where the strength comes from. It comes from God and God alone. So I've been on this journey now with my wife, and I'm so glad. I mean, I came back, okay? Don't judge me, okay? I came back. But it was that I needed, just a shaken up situation. And I am so glad Dad looked at me in the eyes and he pushed me and he believed and he confronted something in me. Because God used, and I've been in this journey now with my family for over 9 years now, learning how to trust in God 100%. Even when I don't see the ends of my trials or my circumstances, I have finally realized that God has never failed me and he is not going to start today. God, has God ever failed you? Or has he always come through? So why do you think, what in the world would you think that he's going to start with you today? He has done it before. He will do it again. God, I don't know how, but I know you will. I don't know when, but I trust you will finish what you started. My life is in your hands. I cannot see the light yet, but I trust and I believe that you are working far beyond what I can see with my natural sight. I don't know all the answers, my friend, but I know the one who does. God never promised it was going to be easier. He did promise his presence, though. I love what Psalms 23 says. Even when I walk through the darkest valley. David did not say even when if you walk through the... No, he said even when you walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. So the Israelites had their backs against their wall. They were in their camp, and there comes Pharaoh with 600 of his best chariots. And behind him, there is a Red Sea, but there is one difference. They had a great leader, Moses. Moses did not just know the promise of God for their lives. He believed the promises of God for their lives. And let me just break it to you and lay some foundation for this message. I'm still in my intro, okay? Lunch can wait. Minis will be open. I love minis. I've mentioned minis every single time. Free ads. I love it, okay? But for us to know something, we need to understand this. There's a big difference of knowing the promises of God for your life than believing the promises of God for your life. There's a huge gap from knowing to believing. We can sit here every single weekend listening to our pastor pour out his heart, pour out what God has given us, but nothing is going to happen if you just know something, if you just know about God. You have to believe it, and Moses believed it. The promises of God for your life will be put to the test whenever your human options have ended and your only option is to just fully trust in God. So there's a huge difference between knowing something in your head and believing something by faith. Could it be, church, that we have given up on our faith because we have gotten so comfortable on trusting with the things that we can touch? Could it be that we have forgotten the faithfulness of God for our lives because we have put our trust not in Him? Hey, I'm okay with you saving my life. I got my finances. I got my family. Could it be that we have gotten so comfortable with every single day and day that the enemy has lied to us that it is better for us to put our trust in the things we touch? The biggest enemy in your Christian faith is not Satan. We have given Satan too much credit. The biggest enemy in your Christian faith is your comfort zone. Could it be that we have gotten so comfortable with our options? Could it be like, oh, if this doesn't work out, I got this. Oh, I feel good about that. If I don't got this, this works. And we have forgotten God in the midst of it. There's a big difference of knowing something. Knowing something in your head, that's called information. Believing something by faith, that's called revelation. And Moses had a revelation from God. Why? We have to go back a little bit back to the story before God is about to part the Red Sea. God gave a promise to Moses. And what were he says? Look at Exodus chapter 14. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Beth Haroth between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think, ah, the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I have planned this. Check this out. I have planned this in order to display my glory. Come on, say glory. Through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. I mean, think about this. God warned Moses. Hey, Moses, in the natural way, guess what? It may not seem like there's going to be a way. In your natural sight, guess what? The armies are going to come. God never said, hey, Moses, listen, I'll take care of them. You go. No, God said, Moses, the army, the Egyptians are going to come. Trials are going to come. Tribulations are going to come. You will experience things, and I'm allowing these things not to hurt you, but to grow you. God said to Moses, hey, I'm allowing the Egyptians to come so that they can see my glory through you. Come on, church. I know the enemy has been messing you for long enough. Let me remind you today, God is allowing all these things in your life, not so that he can hurt you, but so that others can see his glory be revealed through your life. So take heart. Be encouraged this morning. You're going to be okay. It's
So the main principle that applied to them, that applied to us, is this. To us now is this. God always fights for his people. God always fights for his people. It doesn't matter how unorganized you may be, how unprepared you are. God will give the victory, not necessarily because of what you've done. Sorry to break it to you. This is not just because of you. This is not because you earn it or deserve it, really. When did we begin to think that we actually deserve something good? We're no good. You are no good. So I am grateful to serve a God whose love is not based on the things I do, but whose love is based on who he is. And church, he cannot deny himself. He is love, and he loves you outside the things you do. What moves Jesus the most is not your love towards him, it's his love towards you. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful because I'm going to walk, hey, and I'm going to walk out of here, and I'm going to fail, but God is going to be, I love you. I'm here with you. I'm here for you. So God always fights for his people. Your life is just a showcase for God's glory to be revealed for others. Yeah, you can give God praise for that. So walk out of your confidence to know that you're just a showcase for God's glory to be revealed for others. So for the next 95 minutes, I'm kidding, relax. For the next few minutes we have together, I want to give you three things. Three very crucial things. Many scholars believe that what Moses is about to do, the Egyptians, our backs are against the wall, and the army of Egypt is coming in front of them. And this is what many scholars believe is Moses' greatest leadership moment. Moses is about to deliver some instruction to the people of Israel that are very simple, very clear, and very applicable. So that is what I want us to go through right now, and we can learn, and I want to give you three things. Three things you, my friend, can do, whether you are experiencing some trials right now, or when you experience some trials in the future. Three things that Moses tells the people of Israel that you and I can apply to our lives today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Good. Even if you were not ready, I was still going to do it. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, this is what it says. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm. Let's stop there for a minute. What does it say? Do not be afraid, stand firm. Tell the person next to you, stand firm. Number one, what do we do when our backs are against the wall? What do we do when we don't see an end to our trials? What do we do when we don't know what to do? I don't know how, but I know he will. What do I do, Brian? Moses says, stand firm. And he's not talking about standing firm in your faith. This is not a spiritual thing. This is a positional thing. Moses says, hey, calm down, everybody. I know the Egyptians are coming. I know our backs are against the Red Sea. Hey, listen, just don't freak out. Stand firm. Stand firm. This is often the direction of God to his children in time of crisis. When we face trials and tribulations, what does our flesh want to do? Our flesh wants to run away, doesn't it? Oh, it's just gotten hard. I'm going to run away. Oh, man, we see it oftentimes in marriages, right? We see oftentimes just when marriage gets hard, that's what I did, right? I'm just going to run. I mean, we see it with church people all the time. Oh, I'm going to be with you until you hurt my feelings, and I'm going to try this church. Oh, man, you hear my feelings. And we run our problems. Guess what? It doesn't matter where you run. Your problems comes with you. Please, I'm saying this as loving and as I can. Because, hey, in order for us to experience some change, there are certain things in our lives that need to be confronted. I'm tired of seeing Christians just running away from everything. I'm tired of seeing Christians living their lives like Jesus never rose from the dead. Oh, the economy is getting hard. My marriage, my kids are terrible. I'm going to run away from them. And we're living in our society, and the world out there is looking at us. And you know what they see? The enemy has made us believe that maybe running away is the solution for our problems. We think and we run away thinking that the problem is everybody else but us. Mm. Doesn't matter where you run, your baggage comes with you. Your problems comes with you. So there's got to be a point in our lives, in our Christian faith, that we say, you know what? I'm going to stand firm. That's what I did, church. Huh. I mean, you heard my story. Marriage got hard. I looked at a baby and I was like, how is this guy going to depend on me? Like, so what did I do? Brooke, here I come. Dad, here I come. My dad is get out of here. That's what I did back in the early ages of my ministry. I didn't know that there is a blessing when you stay rooted. There's a blessing when you stay grounded. I am grateful to be in a church under a leadership that says, Brian, if you can just stand firm, you will see God come through. You will see the blessings of God in your life. I am thankful for a pastor that during the hardest time of my life, when I lost my father, my hero, you know what he did? He came and he hugged me and said, Brian, we got this together. If you cannot stand firm, I'll stand firm with you. The biggest blessing of my life, outside my marriage and my wife, the biggest prayer request that I had was when I decided, I'm going to stay grounded. I'm going to stand firm. There was many times where I wanted to run away. There was many times where I wanted to give up and say, I can do it. How am I going to encourage people when I feel so discouraged right now, when my heart is broken and shattered in pieces? But I had God, and through my pastor, he says, we're going to stand firm together, Brian. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful. I'm grateful because many of you guys out there have seen the fruits of what it means to me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be grounded. We're going to be rooted. No matter what comes at me. Oh, I see the Clint Hudsons. I see the Scott Dykes. I see the Trey. I see the Adam Church. We're going to stay grounded. And I want that. So grateful that my kids get to grow under such a thing that me always say, no matter what comes, we're going to stand our ground. Just stand firm and maintain your position and stay calm and grounded right where you are as he reveals his plan. So what are you going to do today, church? Are you going to keep running away? Are you going to keep running and living your life like the battle has been, that God was defeated? Or are you finally going to realize, hey, if Jesus rose from the dead, I have hope and he's got me. I just got to stay calm and stand firm. So what do we do? Remember this. Remember this when you go back to the chaos and the troubles of this week. Remember this when your kids are acting up, being rebellious. Remember this when you face the chaos of your marriage, the chaos in the economy. Don't run away. Don't hide. Stand firm in your position. Stand firm in the word of God. Stand firm in your prayers. Stand firm in your church. Why, Brian? Why do you want me to stand firm? You know what? Stand firm because this allows you to see God's plan for your life. Stand firm because he's about to part the sea and reveal the plan for your life. Imagine this. Think about this. We always look at the story. But hey, the Israelites would have never seen the promise of God in your life if they would have run away. They would have never seen the Red Sea parted if they would just run away. Stand firm. I don't know how, but I believe he will. I don't know when, but I know he will. I don't know with who, but I know who will. God. So number one, stand firm. Say it with me. Stand firm. Number two, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. This is what it says. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still. This is the NLT. Stand firm. And what? Come on. Say it with faith. And what? Rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. So one, we stand firm. Number two, we look at our Savior. We watch God. We watch God do something he can only do. Watch God part the seas. And this, my friend, goes far beyond just the Israelites just experienced the freedom. Goes far beyond just they experiencing this freedom just for generations to come. This is, you know what? This is one of the pictures of the gospel. The Israelites experienced what you and I experience today. Salvation by faith. Because there is no way they could have done it. There is no way they could have come out of this. There was no only, so God said, stand firm. Oh, watch what I'm about to do. Yes, maybe God did not part the Red Sea for you. You know what he parted? He parted the veil so that now you can have access to God the Father, so that you can have a relationship with the one who created you. So thank God we have that. I don't know how, but I believe we will. Through our relationship with Jesus, now we can have the certainty to know that no matter what happens or what the enemy throws at us, we are going to be okay. That God will make a way, because it's not about what you have done. It's about what Jesus did for you more than 2,000 years ago. Your healing, your breakthrough, your prayer request has already been paid back in 2,000 years ago when Jesus says, hey, your sins are forgiven. Let me be the sacrifice. Let me pay the price you and I could have never paid. Let me make a way between a holy God and sinful people. And it is because of that we can have the certainty to say, I don't know how, but I believe he will. Romans 8:31 says, then when should we be afraid of? If God is for you, who can be against you? Psalm 27 verse 1 says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? So what do we got to do, Brian, in time of crisis? Stand firm, hold your ground, stay put, be faithful, watch God. I think number three is one of the most important ones. You ready for number three, or we'll come back tomorrow? Stand firm, watch God. And look what the next verse, Exodus chapter 14, 15 says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Tell the Israelites to what? Come on, tell the person next to you. Move on. Stand firm, watch God, move on. Wait, Brian. You got it wrong, dude. You're telling me just to stand firm. And now you're telling me to move on? What are you talking about? Moses here is not talking moving or running away or trying to escape from your problems. What Moses is talking at this point in their story is saying, stand firm, don't freak out, don't try to run away, don't try to pursue what makes you comfortable. No. Now look at God. He's about to part the Red Sea. And now when the Red Sea is parted, move on. Move on. Church, let me be Moses to you this morning. Everybody that is watching online, let me be Moses to you. It is time. If you're facing trials, if you're facing tribulations, stand firm. Watch God. Move on. Move on. As they move on, God did only what he could do. Hear me out when I say this. You can pray all you want to. You can read the scriptures all you want to. But it is not until you move that you're able to see the power of God manifested in your life. That is what James, the brother of Jesus, writes this. And he says this. He says, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Is dead. Oh, I see this with many, many people being paralyzed by the fact that they don't know what the will of God for your life is. Is it left? Is it right? Is it him? Is it her? Is it forward? Is it backwards? God, lead me, show me something. And we have lived in a life where I just call it spiritual paralyzed. And the enemy has been paralyzing us. I'm not saying, please don't hear me out, but Pastor Brian said not to pray, not to read scripture. I'm not saying that. Pray, read a scripture, but man, it's time to do something. Man, it's time to move on. Could it be that the Red Sea has already been parted, but we are so scared to move on? Could it be that we have gotten so comfortable and saying, I don't know, God. Imagine the people of Israel, the first five. Oh, the Red Sea. God, why didn't you build a bridge? Why did you just part? God, think about it for a minute. It was wet. It was sandy. What if a fish jumps in me and just freaks me out, you know? Oh, no, 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 take a next step. Guys, come on, the Red Sea's parted, let's move. What are you crying out to me? Move. Moses, move, raise your staff. This requires action. It requires boldness. It requires faith to know and believe that if I make one step, God is going to take care of me. If I start serving a church, God is going to provide for me. If I'm going to start tithing, He's not going to leave me alone. If I start being faithful to Jesus one step at a time, the Bible says that the word is a lamp into my feet. It doesn't say it's a lamp into your future. Church, oh, your job is not the outcome. It's the obedience. So are you willing to be obedient to what God is putting in front of you? After my dad passed, I was crying out to God saying, God, I've been waiting for you 9 years. Do something. I know you can do it. I've heard it. Do something, God, please. My family needs you. They don't know what they're going to eat, God. My brother don't know. My sister don't know. God, please, I've been waiting for you. My pastor said this is the year of the Lord's favor. I've been waiting for your favor. And you know what the Holy Spirit whispered in my ears? God, I've been waiting for you. And Holy Spirit said, what if I've been waiting for you to do something? And it is not until then that I began to talk to my coworkers and the staff members and my community. And I said, would you please pray with me? Would you please believe with me? Here is what I'm believing for. Would you kneel down with me? And that is when God began to open the doors. And that's when God began to provide. And now that's a testimony of God's faithfulness for you to see His glory. Gosh, it is time to do something, church. It is time to move, church. It is time to walk through the Red Sea. It may be dark. It may be wet. I get it. It's scary out there. But many of you can be faithful to Jesus one step at a time. It is time to move. The broken world out there that needs of Christians that are not afraid to move. That are not afraid to stepping up in faith. That are not afraid to believe God for the impossible. It is time to move. Stand firm, watch God, and when He opens the Red Sea, let's move, church. Let's move, church. Let's move, church. When you see an ocean in front of you, and in front of you there's a big enemy, a big giant coming towards you, and your back is against the wall, church. Move. How many of you guys are ready to make a move? How many of you guys are ready to start that business that is scaring you to death? How many of you guys are ready and start putting some pens to the paper and start writing the book God's put inside of you? How many of you guys, maybe your marriage is not working because you're not moving to seek counsel. Maybe for some of you, it is time to seek counsel, to seek freedom, to make myself available. We have an amazing program that helps you find freedom. Maybe for you, that's your first move. Maybe for you, it's salvation. Maybe for you, you've been so dependent on your own. Like me, I was trapped in my own knowledge. Maybe for you, it's the move from knowing something to believing something by faith. I'm sorry if I'm yelling too much, but breakthrough is on the way. Your healing is on the way. I believe it. Will you believe it with me? Peace is on the way. My life out there, my family is a testimony of God's faithfulness. I don't deserve anything, but I've seen marriages restored. My marriage was restored. My family was restored. I've seen prodigal sons come back to Jesus. My father was made whole. He's now in the presence of God. My prayers were answered. He's still saving that which is lost. God is still restoring broken hearts. He's still bringing freedom to the addict. God is building His church, and the gates of hell will not and shall not prevail against it. It is time to move, church. I believe that you, some of you, you're about to move from death to life, from you. You're going to move from darkness to light. You're going to move from defeat to victory today. You're going to go from shame to grace, from fear to faith, from sorrow to joy. Do you believe it? Today it is not about what you can learn. Today God wanted to remind you, are you willing to stand firm? Are you willing to watch Him do something He can only do? To do something no other man can do? Are you willing? And are you going to be obedient to move? That was my first closing. I got 7. I don't know where you are right now, but let me remind you of this. God is still in control. He's still on the throne. He's not freaking out over there about your situation. He's saying, I got you, kid. I got you, my son. I got you, my daughter. I have you in my arms. Do you believe it? Or you just know it? Up in the balcony, do you believe it? Or you just know it? I want to read to you, and this is my last closing, okay? I promise. I want to finish reading Isaiah 43, and God brought that verse and that chapter into my heart so I can read it to you, because He wants you to hear this, because the promise He gave the people of Israel this day, He wants to give it to you. So what I want you to do is I want you to stand and receive the word of God for you today, okay? This is what it says, Isaiah 43. Believe this, church, with all your heart. But now, O Jacob, let's say that, but now, O Cascade Hills Church, listen to the Lord who created you. Oh, Israel, the one who formed you says this, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you, says God. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. If you struggle with identity issues, look what God says to you this morning. Some of you ladies are struggling, but you see yourself in the mirror. God Himself says, I don't know what I'm saying this. You are precious to me, says God. Because you are precious to me, you are honored, and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I love this. I will gather you and your children. Oh, you've been praying for your lost child for too long. I am gathering you and your children. I will say to the north and to the south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. Bring out the people who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Gather the nations together. Assemble the peoples of the world. Which of their idols has ever foretold such things? Which can predict that what will happen tomorrow? Where are the witnesses of such predictions? Who can verify that they spoke the truth? But you are my witness, O Israel, says the Lord. But you are my witness, O Cascade Hills, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been, and there never will be. I, yes, am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. Oh, our church, I hope that you're ready to make a move. First, I predicted your rescue. Then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witness that I am. You are my witness that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch you out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. Church, He is for you. 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 And then He is for you. Who can be ever against you? You are going to be okay. Stand firm. Watch God move on. Oh man, I'm ready to make a move. Are you ready to make a move? for some of you, it's my last finish. Okay, I had 7. I told you. I want to end with this. There's two types of move in the room today. Move number one. For some of you, it's time to make the goal, the transition from knowing something to believing something. It's been too far. The enemy has been messing with you for far too long. Today, for some of you, your first move is coming down to these couples this morning and says, I'm surrendering my whole life to Jesus. I'm giving it my all. I'm not just giving a little bit. I'm not just giving a little bit. I'm not just giving just my salvation, but I'm giving my finances. I'm surrendering my family. I'm surrendering my plans. I'm surrendering my business. I'm surrendering my jobs. I'm surrendering it all. And for some of you, your first move, the first step is the most important step. It's coming to Jesus. He loves you. He paid the price. For some of you, you've been standing firm, but you have forgotten to watch God. If that's you today and the Holy Spirit is whispering into your spirit, don't run away from it. Please don't walk out of here not knowing where you will spend eternity. It is the most important move you will ever make. Please hear me out. Please hear me out. God has put you in this place, not by coincidence, but by divine appointment. You know who I'm speaking to today. I don't want us to go and just walk out of here, but I want you to make a move. God is waiting. Why? What if God has been waiting for you? And if that's you, all you got to do is this. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Now understand, all of us, we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Number two, confess and say, you know, God, I'm so sorry. Repent. I'm a sinner. Number four, believe. Believe that Jesus died for you and paid the full price for your freedom. That paid full price for you to make a move. It's been paid. Now, it is your turn. Would you make a move? If that's you, I want to lead you into prayer that I can lead you to do so. It's not about the words you're about to say. It is about the heart. It is about to know, God, I'm about to make a move. Here I come, God. I don't know what's coming, but I know what I'm doing today. I'm making a move. Let's pray. If that's you, you want to give your life to the Lord and surrender your life completely, you know exactly who you are. Just say these words after me. Again, this is not about your words. It's about your heart. Just say, Jesus, today I'm making a move. Today I recognize and I acknowledge that I am a sinner. That I don't deserve anything. God, today with my words I declare that you alone are God and that your son Jesus paid full price for my redemption. Paid full price for my freedom. Paid full price for me to get, I have a home in heaven that no matter what trials and tribulations come today my way, I am going to be okay. Today, I surrender my life to Jesus. This is my new beginning. This is my new beginning. I believe in you. Thank you for loving me. I am yours and you are mine forever and ever and ever. Amen. And if that's you, my friend, what I'm about to ask, again, I said, you're about to make a move. The ball is in your court now. And we're about to go into worship here in a minute, and we're going to believe in God. And I want you to make a move out through the aisles and come to this couple and instead just say this, I made a move this morning. I made a move this morning. I come in, and what the enemy meant for evil, hey, God can turn it for good. And we're going to celebrate, and we're going to clap, and we're going to cheer for you because that is what heaven did for you. When you gave your life to Jesus, there was a celebration in heaven. God was saying, come, welcome, my son. Welcome, my daughter. So if that's you, when we start singing, come. Come to the arms of Jesus. Make a move, church. If that's you, would you just come? You're the wonder-working God. Oh, the miracles I've seen. It's too good to not. Come on. All the miracles we see, you're too good to not believe.
is late, but I believe that the presence of God is in this place. I'm going to give you another opportunity. If that's you, would you just turn to the person next to you? Just help them out. You never know who's sitting next to you. Just said, hey, if you're ready to make a move, I'll come with you. I'll help you move. Just do what Pastor Brent did for me. Hey, we're going to stand firm together. So when we go back into worship, just ask the person next to you. Hey, if you go, if you want to go, I'll go with you. Come on, would you just ask them right now? Just say, hey, if you want to go, I'll go with you. Come on, just turn to the person next to you. Just say that. Last thing before I get out of here, okay? I want to be obedient to the word of God and what he said to me early on. I sat in my office and he said, Brian, I want them to believe with me, to believe in me for the impossible. I don't know, maybe you've been a Christian for too long and you're facing something that, maybe you're facing something that you're like, hey, my back is against the wall, Brian. I need to believe God for the impossible. And for some of you, you've been a Christian and you've already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you're facing something that you, with your own strength, you cannot do. Maybe it is a medical report. Maybe for some of you, you're believing for healing in your body or for somebody else. Maybe for some of you, you know, your finances and you're believing God to provide and to come through. Maybe for you as your family. I don't know what you're believing God for or what you're praying for, but what I want to give you the opportunity, church, to do what I did. I was a Christian for a long time, but I said, God, I'm going to make myself vulnerable. And what I want you to do, church, when we go back, I want us to come and lay our needs in the altar and come to the feet of Jesus and say, this is my prayer request. This is what I'm believing for. God, I'm making a move of faith. And what I want to do and what's going to happen is God is going to see you and he's going to honor your move. And he's going to say, oh, come lay it on my feet, son. Come lay it on my feet, daughter. And I believe, what if he did it for me? Oh, this is bold. He will do it for you. But I don't want you to walk out of here without making a move. If that's you, you say, hey, dude, this message was for me. I just don't know how I'm gonna make it through. My hope has been lost. Everything I've lost. Come to the feet of Jesus. You're not coming to me. You're not coming to the couple. You're not coming to the band. We don't have your answers. But you know who does? Jesus. And as you lay it by faith, he will honor it. And he will come through and answer what he has put in your heart. So by faith, we're going to believe that the Holy Spirit, as you lay your needs here in the altar, he will answer your prayers. He will come through. And he's going to give you the faith to believe that your best days are still in front of you. So why don't you come, church? If you need a move and a touch from God, would you just come and lay at the feet of Jesus? Come on. Let's believe it.
I see broken bodies healed. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I see real life resurrection. I see mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I see families reunited. I see particles return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I see troubled souls delivered. I see addicts finally free. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We'll see a 2 weeks in a revival. Salvation burn the streets. Don't you tell me.
Go
on, church. Let's worship God. Let's lift up our praise.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that this message spoke to you. If it impacted your life in any way, shape, or form, we ask that you'd please let us know. You can simply email iam@cascadehills.com. We'd love to hear your story, get to know you a little bit more. Please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. We also have other messages available on our website, cascadehills.com, or you can always check them out on our Cascade Hills YouTube channels. We'd also love for you to join us, whether it's online or in person, every Saturday night or Sunday morning. We love you guys so much. Thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you soon.